Amelia watched as the rain fell quick. Falling in thick, diagonal bands, she listened as the flash-flooding ground splashed the raindrops back up at her. Loud splats of water were pouring over the sides of the overhang above her and smacking into the dirt ground. Sitting with her thoughts, she fingered the flame of her tapered candle she had made earlier today in preparation for tonight's power conservation, which as of late have been more often than the previously stated and agreed to times. This was likely done in response to the insubordinates and militia rebels against the New World Order. She stared in silence at her candle as it fought to stay lit with the gusts billowing through the bending pines. The red tapered candle sat in an old cast iron candle holder. It had an arched handle, and it was always heavy. She had bartered it recently from an old acquaintance, Lorelei. She laughed sarcastically at the thought about the exchange. The fear was simply so drilled into her on a cellular level. In a place where logic doesn't hold any ground, intellect replaced by primitive response to programming, Lorelei Stetton was new to nowhere, so naturally, she was still deprogramming. All she had wanted was herbs anyway, particularly dried mullein. Something to help aid her son in recovering from a bronchitis spell that had already lasted 2 months too long with no improvement. Denied access to proper treatment, and desperate enough for our help, and willing to break all rules, including civilian and personal travel ban, carbon restriction, as well as failure to report to weekly with civilian caseworker, responsibilities that were a part of our current society. Civilian caseworkers were responsible for our points and the point system that was implied upon us, responsible for either giving them or taking them away based on what they'd like to call merit. But everyone knows it means compliance. It had taken Lorelei and her son, Peter, 2.5 weeks to get to Fort Nowhere. Through the dark and wet Serpent Valley tunnels, they and a handful of fallen elites planned their escape, all having equally important reasons or pressing matters that made getting out of their dire situation a necessity. James McCaver was their mole, a previous Central Intelligence agent before the NWO acquisition, now Rebel Mole boring tunnels to freedom through Serpent Valley. 9 months ago, almost to the day, military actions were established in every major city in the world overnight. In perfect unison, this large-scale operation was planned and executed without 1 ounce of notice published on any media outlet anywhere globally. Not even the more raw things that one would often find on social media before it could be scrubbed. Those platforms are now strictly for the elites. And brown nosers, of course, of the order, and even some corporations who are willing to push the desired narrative to attain a lower and more desirable tax bracket and more points for their cooperation. All good doggies get treats. The average person could merely look on at these platforms. No interaction of any kind is permitted, whether on a post or with each other. Except, of course, for all those who live beyond the red velvet rope, and those who jump when they're told. James had strange feelings that morning, but couldn't quite put his finger on why. He had thought to call his wife, Judy, when he had found a moment in his chaotic day. He was sitting in his office. Something was wrong with their computer systems. Clearly not your typical problem which would have been remedied almost instantly with backup. The generators they had would have instantly taken care of that, or other phantom equipment designed to get us back online. His office was near the relay room, and suddenly he overheard men talking. Two men seemed baffled as to where the signal jamming was coming from. Curious, he listened in. "Sir, I have tried every tactic and backdoor. There are not any exterior signals jamming us here. The emergency protocols have already been activated. Operation Microdome has been put into effect." "There is nothing that we know of, sir, that can penetrate the microwaves currently conducted around this entire facility. And yet this frequency is steady and unwavering. The only logical explanation is that it's not coming..." "Excuse me, Petty Officer. I do not believe it is up to you to make any assumptions," said a familiar, harsh voice. "That will be all. We will take over from here," he boomed again. "Sir, I am not to leave my post until 1800 hours when my replacement relieves me," Stan said with a shaky voice.
"You'll leave now, boy, or I will leave you where you stand," said the dark voice.
Lorelai had called James twice before he had heard her. "Mr. McCaver, sir," yelling over the grinding noise of the mole machine. Gently, she touched his arm, and he jumped with a start. James, realizing his absent-mindedness, abruptly spat out, "What?" "Sorry to bother you, but I was just wondering when we would rest for the night. My son..."
"Lorelai," cutting her off. "I am on a fine line here. Can't get you there too soon or too late. We cannot drill when dust clouds could be visible to drones or scouts looking and hunting for us out there," he said in a serious tone. "NWO scum likely aren't ever the worst you'd find out here."
"It's been 9 months, Lorelai. Those that tried to make it out here on their own did not do so in civil ways or with human compassion. They've become closer to our animal nature, but yet they've been tainted with the evil humanity had given to them."
Amelia liked to watch the power grid get shut down. It was somehow oddly satisfying to watch, despite the immediate consequence. It wasn't very big, as they would not make anything large enough to give away their position, though there were many other steps to ensure their safety, such as the EMP barrier, which disengages or redirects drones and scouts away from the location. Also, the projected hologram replica that no NWO tech can see. When they pass, they simply see terrain. It is projected out topographically 24/7. Oddly enough, the only side effect it has, visibly on ground, is that it almost eliminates all harmful UV light. There is also this subtle twinkle-like effect, which Amelia also found quite enjoyable. She strode out from her shelter with her wet candle in tow. Her only light, the stubborn moon that refused to hide beneath its blankets of clouds tonight. Thankful for its rebellion against them, she squished across camp in her worn and wet combat-tattered boots, the pending doom of tomorrow weighing on her. For on the success or failure of tomorrow's raid rested the fate of the rebellion itself.